It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
How will younger people going back to college play out in tomorrow's big jobs report? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Powerful people with great influence over the cost of borrowing in America will be watching tomorrow morning when the Labor Department releases its tally of names on American payrolls. Also, the unemployment rate derived from a separate survey of American households comes out tomorrow. On Thursdays, we consult Diane Swank, the CEO of DS Economics in Chicago.
We're going to be watching the jobs numbers extremely closely tomorrow, and sure enough, they've got an even heightened focus this time around, given what many Federal Reserve officials have said is that they think we're close to full employment. We're almost ready to get to the point where we should be raising interest rates more, and that's going to be determined by tomorrow's jobs numbers. Now, I'm expecting 165,000 in new payroll employment. That's a little shy of the consensus, but with an unemployment rate of 4.8% instead of 4.9%. It's really hard to capture all the millennials that go back to school in the month of August and back to college, and that will look like a drop in the participation force, which will push down the unemployment rate.
Diane says 165,000. I've just written that down.
With plus or minus 100,000.
But when we use, and the Fed uses these terms, like full employment, that often comes as cold comfort to someone out there looking for a job. They're talking about the unemployment rate where we really get more worried about inflation.
The Fed looks at the improvement in the labor market in absolute terms. Are we better off than we were back in 2008? Absolutely. Are we better off than most people were back in 2000? Absolutely not. And that gets into the difficulty of raising rates in an environment in an election year.
Diane Swank at DS Economics. Thank you.
Thank you.
With cleanup from the floods in Louisiana still underway and communities and spots across the country still dealing with the effects of their own high water this summer, the National Flood Insurance Program is more than $20 billion in debt, and a report finds that many checks written from that federal plan go to the same properties after repeated floods, Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
The Natural Resources Defense Council released the report after examining FEMA records on flooded properties. Joel Scada helped compile the report.
The properties themselves represent about 0.6% of all flood policies in the nation, but account for over 10% of the payouts.
About 2,100 properties have been flooded more than 10 times. One Louisiana home flooded 40 times. Since 1978, payouts for these homes have totaled more than $5.5 billion. The NRDC says repeated payouts are untenable, especially with sea levels rising. It recommends revamping the program to buy out flooded homeowners at pre-damaged values. Larry Larson of the Association of State Floodplain Managers says it's important not to heap all blame on homeowners.
It's really the community's decision makers on where they will allow development to occur.
There'll be a slew of suggested improvements Congress will consider as the National Flood Insurance Act is up for reauthorization next year. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump wants to increase security at the U.S. and Mexico border, a new wall, and he said yesterday 5,000 more Border Patrol agents. Now, at the same time, some of the towns and cities actually on that border want to increase ties with their neighbor. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports from the border.
This airport terminal in San Diego is a bit unusual. It starts in the U.S., but then, after security, walk along a bright purple bridge and you're in an airport in Tijuana, Mexico. This bridge is an example of just how badly the cities of San Diego and Tijuana want to boost cross-border business and tourism. I meet Joe Terzi of the San Diego Tourism Authority at the bridge's opening ceremony.
You know, we think about San Diego in a certain way. Tijuana and Baja think about their economies. But now, we really consider it a mega region.
So while people elsewhere in the country are focused on the politics of the border, many people here are focused on the business of the border. Cars and trucks crawl through border traffic on their way into San Diego from Tijuana, but I meet Hector Garcia moving at a brisk pace towards the pedestrian crossing.
Mucho mejor en Estados Unidos que acá.
He's on his way to work and says it's much better to work in the U.S. compared to Mexico. Garcia has a factory job doing quality control and says the conditions, hours, and pay are better on the San Diego side. But
I work for a Mexican company, but the Mexican company has workers over there, and I have my salary in pesos.
He makes 2,000 pesos a week, a little over $100. That's more than he would make at home in Tijuana, but less than he would make if he worked for an American company. Other commuters I meet have higher-paying jobs in San Diego, but live in Tijuana because it's cheaper. Andrew Seeley of the Mexico Institute at the Wilson Center says people who live near the border think differently about it.
They make choices about where they're going to shop on a given day, where they're going to live, where they're going to work, based on what's best for their livelihood, and they think about both sides of the border as an option.
And businesses do the same thing. I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Kimberly's reporting there was supported by the International Women's Media Foundation's Adelante Reporting Fellowship. And in South Korea, Samsung stock fell more than 2% today after reports some batteries in the company's Galaxy Note 7 might have caught fire. The company's not confirming any fires, but said it is delaying shipments for quality control testing. Samsung is pinning many of its hopes on the Note 7, with the new iPhone from their arch rivals set to be unveiled later this month. Yes, it is September already. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.